shepherd, there's a crew covering all Lilliputland, bringing you the news. It's Sunday Nightfall, gonna rock your world. Tune into the podcast, let the chaos unfurl. The energy's electric, the passion's on fire.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's February 23rd, 2025. I'm Tanner Lee. I'm back this week after 1 week off. The Shep, Austin Shepherd's in the house. No Paul, though. No Paul Zartman. So still, it's coming to, becoming a common theme in 2025, a two-man show, a two-man pod.
Just call Shep, us, what's going on? Just call us Stockton and Malone.
Stockton. I like that. I like that. You got a little hook shot in your game there, Shep.
Oh, I got them all. I got them all.
Majin said, Christ, are we ever going to get a three-man show? You know, it's just, according to Paul, and I believe him, that darn bug that's going around is going through his household right now. So, yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. Stephen Chambers in the chat. What's up, Stephen? Good question right off the bat that I didn't have down in my notes, but I do want your take on it, Shep. What's your guys' take on Ryan Nemeth suing AEW, Tony Khan, and CM Punk? You see that today?
I didn't, but
I don't think he has much of a case.
No, he's butthurt because Punk sent him home on Saturdays. Is that basically what it is?
That, and then he pretty much said, like, there was no communication from AEW, and, you know, they were supposed to look into some things, some like HR things, and they didn't. And then pretty much he was done.
So my question is, how many weeks did that dude get a paycheck and didn't do anything?
More than not.
Yeah.
More than not. Yeah. I don't think he has much ground to stand on, to be honest, but I don't know. And like Majin said, maybe because you weren't good enough to use. Talking about Ryan Nemeth.
Wasn't his biggest thing in AEW is he was following the writers when they were on strike in Hollywood?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was it. That was his biggest gimmick in AEW, wasn't it?
Yeah, it pretty much got used on BTE, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Back when BTE was a thing. It's not even a thing anymore. The Dark Order already gave up on it. So Stephen Chambers in the comments on YouTube, Ryan claims Punk assaulted him. You better have good evidence.
Yeah.
I don't know. More unneeded drama. I mean, we're talking about people who aren't even involved in the company anymore. Ryan Nemeth, CM Punk.
And not to be rude, but I think Ryan right now is just riding off the coattails of his brother.
Oh, absolutely. Always has been. So always has been. Yeah. Always has been. Majin, before we start, I just want to reiterate what I said via tweet. No one in the game today is doing it like Hayner. The visuals, the character work, he's the total package. He is doing some great character work. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought the opening segment on Wednesday was really, really good.
I did too. Paul didn't like it, I guess, in our group text. He said he had some problems with it.
He thought MGF got off a subject a couple times, and I went back and watched it again a day later, and I thought they both stayed right on point.
Yeah, I mean, they brought up 2019 a lot, but I don't think that's a problem when they're revisiting this rivalry. I mean, you got to, you know, bring up the roots of it back in the day, and it's, you know, even though we saw a darker side of Hangman the last year and a half, 2 years, the fans never really left him. So you got two guys that are staying in their lane perfectly. You got Hangman, who the crowd loves, MJF, who the crowd loves to boo and loves to hate. So I think it's good. I think it's going to be a good match, Revolution, and it would surprise me if it's not. Let me put it this way. I doubt it's going to be a one-and-done program. I mean, with these two caliber of stars, I think we get a couple matches.
Do you think Do you think MJF can match the intensity Hangman's bringing right now?
Yeah, but he's got to find it again. We haven't seen MJF get intense in a while, but he can do it. But he's got to find it.
Yeah.
This might be good for MJF because I like MJF. I think he does great work, but I felt like ever since he turned back heel in the Garcia feud, his promos and everything have become a little stale. I think Hangman can bring MJF strengths out again that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, when you say stale, you mean do you think he comes out and says the same thing, just three different versions of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's kind of redundant. I mean, and maybe a lot of it was the Jarrett stuff that I don't know what happened there. Maybe they had a plan and it fizzled out. I'm still surprised we haven't got one singles match between those guys, but maybe we will eventually. But that was just kind of weird looking back at it. Stephen Chambers, MJF can't brawl with Hangman.
That'll be interesting to see if we get more than one match in this feud, because if we have a true wrestling match, that'll benefit MJF. But it seems like every Hangman feud, we get some type of hardcore match, Texas death match.
Yeah.
You know, insert city street match.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be a normal match just because we already know we're getting a steel cage match on the card between Ospreay and Fletcher. Don't think they want to do too many gimmick matches on the card.
So this will be the actual wrestling match between the two.
Yeah, I think so.
And then if we get another one, it'll have some type of gimmick to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which even MJF can be in a gimmick match. I mean, remember his dog collar match with Punk at Revolution 2022, which is actually right here behind me. Revolution 2022. That was a heck of a match. So and Steven's making a point here. You could even drag the feud out for Double or Nothing. I mean, that's 2 months away, or almost 2 months away in May. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have them here on March 9th at Revolution, two weeks from tonight. You have them at Dynasty in April, and then you could have the blow off at Double or Nothing if you wanted to. Then they both have other things for All in July, because there is no June pay per view this year. So.
Has Hangman officially split? Officially split from the Elite?
I don't think he ever officially did.
They just went off of TV.
Yeah, and if you remember right, the last time they kind of said something about, because, you know, they had their Blood and the Guts match last year, which he helped. But then when Hanger took some time off TV, they kind of said, he's gone. Kenny's fired, because Kenny was out with diverticulitis. I think that was kind of the way they did it. And then they brought Jack Perry in. But no, I think we eventually do come full circle again with the Elite. But you got to think the Bucks are going to be on TV soon. I mean,
Revolution's
in their backyard.
Yeah, so. They last week, I think they dropped the IWGP heavyweight tag team titles back in Japan last week. So the belts are off of them. They held them for, a month and a half there?
Yeah.
So.
Majin, what did you think of Hangman's reply to MJF when he's questioning why throughout everything he's done, the fans still love him? The because I'm real, to me, just hit in a huge way. Hangman just helped them because of the swerve aspect. He was an official member. Oh, talking about the Blood and Guts match.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, there's something still there. I mean, he's been looking for a swerve a few times the last month. So there's still something there, too. Hangman's his character's got levels. That's what you got to appreciate. It's hard to argue that anybody's doing better character work on the men's side in AEW than Hangman. For sure. Got a couple of news items I want to get your thoughts and opinions on before we talk about Dynamite and Collision. A big one this week came out. We got some details, or some supposed details, on what went down with the Shane McMahon, Tony Khan meeting back in, I think it was June or July, in that private office at a Airport, Arlington, Texas. This is according to Jonathan Coachman on the Coach and Bro show, which I don't listen to because I don't like Vince Russo. So can't say I'm a listener. Coachman said he has on good authority that Shane McMahon asked for the world when he met with Tony Khan last year. More specifically, Shane asked for equity in AEW and to come in and run the entire show. Tony Khan supposedly responded by ghosting him after the meeting. A source close to McMahon confirmed that Khan didn't follow up on their private meeting, but Shane didn't take it personally, per Fightful Select. The source doesn't know if the claim about McMahon asking for equity in AEW is true, but did confirm that Shane wanted to run things. McMahon didn't have the product knowledge to actually do that, though, and it seems that Khan thought he was joking.
I think it's 100% true.
Yeah, I could see it easily.
And if you're Tony Khan, the equity is no big deal. Okay. That you leave that up to some paperwork and some lawyers. But to have full creative control over Tony's two television shows, you're asking to hit the Powerball 3 weeks in a row there.
Yeah.
I mean, the odds of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the more I thought about it, I'm thinking, I think I text you guys this. You guys got to remember one thing. He is a McMahon.
You did text us that, yeah.
And, you know, he's probably going to say, if I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going for the gusto. And you're forgetting one thing, you know, Vince is a billionaire. So is Tony.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have known that maybe he's going to ghost you.
Yeah. Shane's got a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. And how I understand it, his wife individually too has a lot of money. And then you combine those two, of course, they're well set, but he's not a billionaire per se, but I mean, multi-millionaire. But yeah, especially if you have no knowledge about the product and haven't watched much of it, to think you just can come in and ask for the world, that's pretty ballsy. Maybe it just comes down to, at the end of the day, he just wants to prove to his dad he can do it, even if it's in a different company. Or maybe it's a shot at his sister and brother-in-law. I don't know.
Obviously, the family dynamic is different than we thought, because I believe he was pictured with his dad at the Super Bowl.
Correct.
They were in the same...
With Undertaker.
Yeah, they were in the same VIP booth. But obviously, Stephanie and Paul were nowhere to be found.
Right, right.
So, yeah, you're kind of wondering what the dynamic is, because when Linda McMahon was on at the White House doing her thing, Paul and Stephanie were right behind her, and I believe Shane was not there.
He was there.
He was there?
See, okay. She introduces him, too. He was just off camera. You couldn't see him quite.
Okay.
Yeah, he was there, too. So Vince was not.
Vince was not.
Vince was not. Modern said McMahon's can't be trusted. And all three of them were there when Linda was sworn in. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think we're going to get the Here Comes the Money anytime soon in AEW.
No, doesn't sound like it.
Nope. That's all right. We got some backstage injury news about two AEW stars that might be returning soon. Sky Blue and Killswitch.
I'm okay with one of the two. So did they ever figure out what was wrong with Luchasaurus?
I don't think I saw any like actual official medical term or anything, but he was in pretty bad shape.
They talked about it was end of career.
Yeah. According to Fightful Select, those who are familiar with both competitors' medical status claim that Sky Blue and Killswitch are close to being cleared, but both must be cleared by their medical providers and by AEW, which are two different processes. Sky Blue's been out of action for the past 6 months with a broken ankle, reportedly pushing for a speedy recovery and return, and has even has even been healthy enough to travel to Australia to support boyfriend Kyle Fletcher at AEW Grand Slam Australia. AEW, however, was not expecting to have Blue back until springtime and reportedly has no creative plans for her. Luchasaurus or Killswitch's return plans are reportedly on a to-be-determined basis given the severity of his medical complications and the strong likelihood of a medical relapse. Suffered an undisclosed health complication that resulted in severe pneumonia late September. Reports from October stated that a return to in-ring competition in the near future was unlikely given his fragile health. No plan, creative plans have been reported for him either. So.
Well, I think if you bring him back, you got to bring him back against Christian
and
his group.
Yeah, I'll get to his group in a bit. Yeah. We finally, last night on Collision, got the graphic that Speedball Mike Bailey is coming to AEW. We've been waiting on it. Sounds like the holdup was a visa issue. So
that's why you always go with MasterCard.
Amen. Amen to that.
No free.
Yeah, wrapped up with TNT. That's all right. He wrapped up with TNA in October, signed with AEW early January. So now he's coming. Known as one of the best in-ring wrestlers in the world. I think he'll fit right in with AEW. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. And I don't know if you guys talked about this last week, but rumor has it that Josh Alexander is going to be AEW bound as well.
Yeah, and I see that where he went for one thing, and it was who's ever going to pay him the most money.
Yeah.
Didn't care about anything else, but who's got the highest bid.
Yep. Yeah, good for him. I mean, you know, if that's some talents, if that's their motivation, good for them. I mean, he's done solid work in TNA. And you got to wonder if he was leaving TNA and, you know, just kind of wanted a new start. Well, if he went to WWE and they put him in NXT, then you got that relationship with TNA. So.
Yeah, and plus, you know, I know there's two television shows. Let me rephrase it. Yeah, there's two companies here in AEW because you got ROH. But where are you going to put a main event guy like Alexander? There, right now, there's really no room for him.
Yeah.
Unless you know, you throw him at ROH and try to build that. But you're not going to pay a guy that kind of money to do that.
No, I don't know. It's interesting because, you know, I don't know if too many talents contracts that are coming up in AEW this year. I know Danhausen's is sometime, but that's they'll use them anyways, which I think's a waste. Even if it's okay, say what you want about the guy's in-ring abilities, but you could put them on camera and backstage segments of promos and stuff. The dude moves merch. Man, that's a good question. I don't know where he fits in, but they're going to have to find a spot for him. Majin, hey, Tanner, you see Keith Lee recently. He looks good. He's lost a bit of weight, looks healthier, and has apparently been backstage at a couple of shows, too. I did read that he's been backstage. That poor guy's had it rough with medical conditions. So I sure hope he gets healthy and back. He's a special talent for how big he is. He can move. So, yep, did see Elijah signed with TNA. Some people, formerly Elias, some people thought he was coming to Ring of Honor because he did a little video with the Righteous, but nope. And Stephen Chambers says Alexander versus Samoa Joe. That'd be fun.
You know, that would be fun, but you got Samoa Joe busy right now.
You do.
You know, everybody's busy right now.
Yeah.
And to throw another guy in to try to fit him in somewhere, it looks like you're, you know, trying to cram, you know, 5 pounds of shit in a 3-pound bag.
That's a good way to put it. We got Pluggo in the chat. What's going on, Pluggo?
Mr. Pluggo in the house.
And he's getting some love in the comments here.
He's a legend.
He is. Yes, and I interviewed his counterpart, JPJ, from Love Wrestling's Between Two Beards last week. So it's up on our YouTube and wherever you can listen to our podcasts and all of our social media. So go check it out. We had a good time. J- just chatting wrestling for a little while. So, Pluggo, where do you think Josh Alexander could fit in AEW? Since you're watching, he might have a good spot to put him in. Oh boy, Pluggo is a legend like Chris Jericho. Majin says.
Boy. That could go in a couple different directions.
Hey, Chris got the roll-up pin over Bandido last night in the Collision main event.
He did.
Think we run that one back at Revolution?
Could be. I hope so, because remember a month ago all the money they were spending on the vignettes for Bandido?
Yeah.
And then you're going to have him take a roll-up L?
Yeah. And you know, if you put it on Jericho to try to get an ROH TV deal, I'm sorry. I just don't see it happening at this point. Just take it off of them. Put it on somebody else. Pluggo says, international championship picture out of the gate. Him and Omega would slap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that
him and Ospreay would be great too.
So Pluggo's saying that Omega is going over either Orange or Takeshita at Revolution.
Yeah.
Stephen Chambers, Zorro reject Bandido. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Wow.
Wow. Stephen Chambers says, Big Bills only won, in my opinion, to beat Jericho. Yeah, Ship, I know you don't like Big Bill's name, but you got to admit, the dude's getting himself over lately.
He's okay.
How'd you like the street fight match between him and Hobbs Wednesday night?
I thought it was pretty good. The ringside steps was a little bit cheesy. Mm-hmm. They missed that spot a little bit.
Yeah, a little bad camera angle maybe on that one.
Yeah, which for some reason AEW is prone to those camera angles. We've talked about it for years. But I thought the two big guys really, really brought it. It was good to see both those athletic guys that on display. And it was a really good match. It was hard to critique it, being that I used to hate on Big Bill a lot.
You think it was the right move with Powerhouse going over?
Yeah, right now it is, because he's still searching.
Yeah.
He's still searching, and you got to keep him. You got to keep him hot.
I'm glad they put him in the program with Big Bill, though, because where I thought it was going for a little while, I thought he was going to go after Jericho's ROH title. And I'm like, I don't like that. So hopefully they don't go down that road. Martin said he wanted them to give us the meat power spot at least once, but they never really did. No, they didn't. The crowd wanted it, but they didn't. Steve Chambers, Bill got stuck, barbed wire, ref, like, screw it, count to 10. Yeah, I was wondering that too. I think he really did get tangled up and he couldn't.
He was struggling a little bit.
Yeah, couldn't. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but overall, I thought it was a pretty good street fight. We've seen a lot worse. We've seen a lot worse street fights in AEW.
Yeah.
And I know Paul likes to criticize, you know, insert city name street fight, but I thought it was pretty good. Shep, what are we drinking tonight? I know we're 23 and a half minutes in, but I just saw I take a drink. So what are we drinking?
Well, I drink water. What do you mean?
Yeah, you stay very hydrated these days.
I do. We're drinking the normal. We're drinking some vodka and flavored club soda tonight. It's been a long week, so we haven't hit it too hard.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have two tonight on the show. Maybe three.
All right. Oh my. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah,
now we're talking. Yeah. Yep. Saw the NASCAR race. I saw Bell won with only leading one lap, but he led the most important lap. So,
yeah, I was watching half of it, then had to go to an obligation that my wife made me go to. I wasn't real happy about.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, happy wife, happy life.
So. Yeah, I had I think five DraftKings lineups, and I don't know. Let's just look. I didn't. I had Bell in one of them, and I didn't even place in any of them.
Maja says he's got some alcoholic Dr. Pepper.
alcoholic. Isn't that you make Dr. Pepper with Canadian Mist? That's an Alabama slammer, isn't it?
You're asking the guy right there in the comments. I have
actually
no idea.
I think it's Canadian Mist, Peach Schnapps, and Dr. Pepper is an Alabama slammer.
I know that sounds pretty good.
There's a million different versions of Alabama Slammer that
you think that's how Hardcore Holly got his finishing move, the Alabama Slam. You think he's a fan of those?
He's a fan of Canadian Mist. I can see that.
He's a fan of beating the crap out of people.
That is true, and that's usually what happens when you drink some cheap Canadian whiskey. You beat the shit out of people.
Or some amaretto and Coke. It tastes like Dr. Pepper.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Yep. I had a good question. Now I forgot. Damn it. That's kind of the news items that we hit on for AEW. But I thought the crowd was hot in Phoenix this week. I like that.
The theater setup was cool.
Mm-hmm. I like that they're moving Double or Nothing to Glendale in May. Getting out of Vegas, even if it's just 1 year off, they've oversaturated that market. Mania is going to be in Vegas the month before. So I think it's smart getting out of
there. Yeah. And I think I read an article too. They're struggling to sell tickets in Vegas right now.
Yeah. Cause their price are damn high.
Well, that's true. So I think maybe they saw, obviously I'm sure they follow it. They saw that on the writing on the wall and said, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought if he really wanted to keep the casino vibe running in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. I mean, Double or Nothing, everybody knows the name. You don't have to always run in the casinos. But
I see a lot of the reports that are blaming ticket sales on Jey Uso, and I think that's a cop-out.
That's stupid.
That's a cop-out.
It's the prices. It's insane. I know a friend of mine going both nights, and he wouldn't tell me what he paid. And he's one that just wants to get in the building. He doesn't have to have good seats. But, yeah.
I mean, I looked at a couple of them to sit mid-level both nights. I mean, you're tickling 10 grand.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. And
I couldn't do it.
No, I mean.
Well, I couldn't pull the trigger on the seats I wanted to buy for Rumble.
I was going
to
say Rumble were high.
And it was 2 hours down the road from the house.
Yep. I know. I hear you.
I couldn't pull the trigger. So
I hear you. But now that we know that Grand Slam, wow, Double or Nothing's got to be in Glendale or Phoenix. So now we know, of course, Revolution coming up 2 weeks from the Knights in LA, which will be cool. That's where the Lakers play. That'll be cool. Dynasties in Philly. Then we got Double or Nothing in May and in Glendale. Nothing in June. All in Texas. Arlington in July. Forbidden Door in the UK this year in August. In August, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then All Out's going to be September. I presume it's in Chicago again. It always has been. Then we don't know where Wrestle Dream will be, or Full Gear, or World's End.
Usually Wrestle Dream's out on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's been state of Washington the last 2 years. Full Gear's been a little everywhere. It's been Minnesota 1 year. It's been usually in the East Coast, but it's been Minnesota 1 year. Baltimore, yeah. And World's End's been in Orlando. And I don't remember. Maybe also the East Coast, I think, last year. Yeah, it was in Long Island last year. Yeah.
I like Steffi's comment. Atlantic City isn't as .. friendly.
That's good. Good point.
We'll just leave it at that.
Good point. So, but I'm getting excited about Revolution. That's why the title of this episode was The Road to Revolution's Heating Up. We're starting to see the card. The card's going to be a good one. I've said this many times on the podcast since we started the pod in 2021. I always think the Revolution card, maybe not always on paper, but as far as match quality, it's about the best pay-per-view they put on every year for some reason. It might be my favorite pay-per-view they have. Do you have a favorite of AEW pay-per-views?
Forbidden Door.
Yeah,
just because of you see some matchups you never would get to see. I always like that, and I always think, you know, Revolution is a pay-per-view in the midst of Mania season. So I think Tony tries to load it up a little bit more.
Well, and AEW doesn't do any pay-per-views in January or February, so it is kind of exciting. It's the first one of the new year, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we've got some good ones over the years. I mean, of course, the one behind me in 2022, you had the Dog Collar match with Punk and MJF. You had, in 2020, you had the Bucks and Hangman and Kenny. And arguably, I think it was the best tag match I've ever seen. You had Danielson and MJF in the Iron Man match in 2023. Last year, you had Sting and Darby versus the Bucks. Sting's last match. You always have some really good ones.
Been a year since that, hasn't it?
Yeah. Time flies. Crazy. Crazy to think Sting's been away for a year. And like Steven said, it's Mac's first live stream pay-per-view because they're going to be offering those. And it was announced next weekend, March 1st, finally all the archive pay-per-views from AEW are going to be on Max. So that'll be nice to have that library over there. Majin, even if they're running the Mariah versus Tony back for their feud ender, after that segment, I'm all in on this match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I figured you'd bring that up. But an absolute banger of a promo by Tony, but then the ending.
Mm-hmm.
With her laying in the middle of the ring. In between Mariah and that was very, very well done.
Yeah, they'll definitely run it back at Revolution. I mean, Tony's not going to lose, but it'll be good. It'll be good. They're really pushing Megan Bang big time. I mean, we saw her win against Statlander Wednesday night with the help of Penelope Ford. But I got to be honest, that crap after the match with Thunder Rosa in the chair, I don't know if.
Penelope
and Megan were no selling. I don't know if there was miscommunication. That was some of the worst work I have seen in a long time. It was awful. It was awful.
There's a reason. I'm going to sound like an absolute jerk.
No, it was terrible.
There's a reason that this past week, Thunder Rosa started a new segment on her whatever. It's not OnlyFans, but it's like the equivalent to it. To where now she's cooking in her underwear.
Yeah.
And honestly, when she's on Busted Opens on Thursdays or Fridays, I have a hard time. I have a hard time listening to it. I really do.
She's never been able to recapture her magic in AEW ever since she got hurt and had to drop the title a couple of years ago. She just hasn't been able to do it. And, you know, I saw some fans on IWC saying, well, look how she was dressed and Penelope was dressed. She's going to turn on Statlander and be heel. That's why she didn't want him with the chair. I'm like, I don't care if that's the reason or not. You could have sold it better. My God. Yeah. It was so weird and clunky. It was real bad.
It was bad. Yeah. She hasn't gained her momentum back. You know, go back 3 years ago to that steel cage match with Britt. And I mean, we watched that match and we were like, holy shit.
That was my match of the year that year. That was my match of the year.
Light a rocket and shoot her to the moon.
Yep.
And then she had a back injury, I believe. And
pretty bad one. Steffi said the only the only AEW pay-per-view I did not like was Revolution 2021. It was good until the ending. Sparklers. My God.
Big boom.
Oh, my God. Steffi, I quit listening to Busted Open. I know a lot of people who have lately. Chip, I know you like it, but I will be honest. They are going WWE heavy. And, you know, Bully Ray's doing stuff with WWE.
Bully Ray's back on the payroll. They're
starting to pay a lot of those paychecks. So.
Yep, Bully Ray's back on the payroll.
They aren't talking near as much AEW as they used to.
And if they do, they're more critical on it.
Yeah. Except Ospreay gave it to LaGreca. on X the other day. LaGreca said he owns up to everything he said. So, Majin said, Megan Bain is good, don't get me wrong, but if you're going to use the F5, put some stank on it. Megan is this big powerhouse, and using the F5, it just feels flat. It's interesting because we've never seen a female use it. Never seen really anybody besides Brock Lesnar use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty protective move. Stephen Chambers said, I believe TK is not happening with Rosa congratulating Starks on social media. You mean Saints? Ricky Saints?
Ricky Saints?
What the hell are we doing?
It's still, I know Vince is gone, but it's still WWE. You can't give anybody credit for anything they've done outside.
But we've seen talent go over there and keep their names as of late. And I got to think there, even though he supposedly owns the name, I got to think there's something there. Because he's done so much, not only in AEW, but in NWA and the Indies as Ricky Starks. Why would you just throw that away and start over as Ricky Saints? I get he's from Louisiana, but it's just weird to me.
Yeah.
Just weird. Steven, where the hell is Velma from Scooby-Doo lookalike Jamie Hayter? Disappointed how AEW booking her. Yeah, we haven't seen her do much since that last match with Julia Hart.
Nope.
Yeah. Imagine there's two ways to do an F5, the way Brock does it where it looks devastating, or spinning it out into the DDT how some make it look, but hers just looks bad. Oh, the DDT, man, I miss when that was a finishing move, man. When Jake the Snake hit it back in the day, nobody got up from it. Now it's a transitional move. Now yeah. It's not even a finishing move anymore. Just kind of like the super kick, it used to be a finishing move. Now it's a transitional move and everybody does it by slapping their leg.
Yeah, half the time they don't even fall down.
But overall, I thought Dynamite was pretty good Wednesday night. I thought it was pretty darn solid.
It was a pretty good show. It was.
And you know, the main event, I got to be honest, I wasn't thrilled about it when they announced that Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong, and not nothing against those two, because it was Orange's first match after being gone 6 weeks, which is the longest time he's taken off in AEW, which saying something. I mean, that guy's a workhorse, but it was more like we're doing this international series when we already know Kenny wants to face Takeshita at Revolution, but now we have to go through these steps where it possibly couldn't be Takeshita. I think that's really dumb. But with all that said, I thought they put on a hell of a match in the main event, in ring.
Yeah, both of those guys in ring you can't argue that. I just never been a big Roderick Strong fan when he's outside the ring and on the mic.
Doesn't have a lot of character to him.
Yeah, and his voice is annoying. But in-ring, yeah, you can't argue that at all.
Yeah. I mean, Orange got the win. Now Orange Takeshita, that'll be good next Wednesday. We got to think Takeshita wins. It's going to Revolution against Kenny.
So. Hey, does Majin have a thing for this Megan Bain?
Looks like he does.
Looking at the comments. Calm down.
She's the new girl in town for him.
go take a cold shower, big dog.
Steven, I will not be happy if this turns into a triple threat at Revolution. Rather just have Takeshita and Mega. I agree. Nothing gets Orange, but I just wanted those two. Makes more sense for the story. Majin, hey, Tanner, remember when Canadian Destroyers ended matches? Pepperidge Farms remembers. Yeah, there's – I don't know. I feel like finishers should be more protected than they are.
We've got into the era, though, of every match has to have a false finish.
You're right.
And some of the bigger matches have 5 and 6 and 7 false finishes, so that really, really hurts the finisher. And I think we had this discussion last Mania season. I brought it up because Dustin was back on TV and was using the Crossroads, and it was getting kicked out easily.
Yeah.
I said, does that hurt Cody? And we had a discussion about it. And now a year later, I would say that was obviously not going to hurt it, because everybody kicks out of the damn, everybody's finished nowadays. So
yeah. Yep. We had a trios match between the Ops and the Patriarchy, with the Ops went over. I have no problem with Joe and Shibata and Hook going over. I just don't care for their name.
I don't either. And I thought Sabian should have taken the L.
Yeah.
Not Nick.
Hey, you need to write Tony a complaint, man.
Well, I had to go home that night and come on my
way. I know. I mean, look, yeah, you got to do the Lord's work now.
Yeah.
But I could be for pushing these three as trios champs. Them or would you rather have them or Undisputed Kingdom?
Yeah.
Or okay, if neither of those, who do you want? Because we got to get it off the Death Riders at this point.
You know, I always thought it would be FTR and Cope rated FTR.
Yeah.
But that's kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, we haven't seen FTR on TV in a little while.
So, I don't know. But they got to get the belt off of them. Yeah. Because they're not defending them. They don't really even show them on TV. It's like they're just non-existent.
Yeah. 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 But, man, I do got to be honest. Though, talking about the patriarchy. We got to do something with Christian's contract soon. It's getting old. He's got to do something at Revolution, right? I mean, he can't keep carrying this on too much longer.
Well, I mean, I would say he will cash it in, but I have a feeling he's cashing in and it won't be on Mox.
Yeah. So you're showing your cards a little bit for your predictions, but I think I'm right there with you. But like the one problem I have with that is he's already kind of cashed it in. Remember when Killswitch and Cope with the TNT title, we've already done that once. You really want to revisit that again, unless they have him cash it in and he doesn't win. It's unsuccessful.
Then what's the point of him? It's just been a weapon the last so many months.
I mean, that's rare. Like even in WWE terms and the WWE world, it's rare to see somebody cash in and be unsuccessful, but we have seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to get off Mox, a face needs it, not another heel, but I'm still, man, because like part of me wants to think that Cope will take it off, but another part of me is like, if you look at the history of AEW, Mox would be the shortest title reign outside of Danielson's in company history if he lost it at a Revolution, because they usually like the – and Samoa Joe's is close. Samoa Joe had it one more month longer. But.
And we knew Danielson was going to be short anyways because of his situation.
He was supposedly backstage. Dynamite on Wednesday. Yeah,
they said that he is very, very healthy and is enjoying still traveling every once in a while and helping backstage, so –
Steven said, Christian hasn't wrestled since the Trios match against Ops. Wow, that's been a little while. Martin said, Cope wins, Christian cashes in. Steven says, guessing Killswitch is the holdup. Martin, it took them like five winners to do it, though. Yeah, I know. You're right. Overall, though, I thought it was good Dynamite. I thought Collision was good last night. I thought we got some good stuff on Collision. I mean, I wasn't huge on the ROH championship main event, but I understand why it main evented.
Yeah. I enjoyed the debut of one Gabe Kidd.
Yeah. A little, well, he has been AEW before, but this was kind of unexpected. They just announced it Wednesday night. I was glad to see it wasn't a complete squash and he did face somebody decent like the Butcher.
You think those guys slapped each other hard enough?
Nope.
Did you not see the handprint on Gabe?
Oh, I know. That
turned purple before the end of the match.
Yeah, Butch can lay it in, man.
Yeah.
He can lay it in, but we'll see what they do with Gabe Kidd here. It's interesting that he just kind of popped up, but shows the relationship between AEW and New Japan.
He does not like Omega.
No, he doesn't. And they put on a banger at Wrestle Kingdom. We saw Death Riders successfully defend their Trios Championship against Daniel Garcia, Daddy Magic, Kool and Ange.
Hold on. I made that comment. I thought you would lead into this, but did you see who was watching backstage during his match?
I must have missed that.
Yeah, they cut Callis. They cut to Callis watching the backstage monitor.
I did see that. Yeah. Oh God, we don't need another Callis family member.
I thought when I said he doesn't like Omega, you would have
bought that, but I should have. You teed it up and I missed it.
You whiffed.
Stephen Chambers, wouldn't mind Bullet Club War Dogs feuding with Bang Bang Game in time for Forbidden Door.
Okay.
Modern said, give me more Harley Cameron and Megan Bang on my TV, and I'm a happy camper. Feel the wrath, he says.
Majin, do you watch? Would you watch that on Spanktravision? Sorry.
Tommy Boy. Richard, yeah. Who's your favorite little rascal? Is it Alfalfa or is it Spanky? She must date one of the Yankees. Stephen Chamber. Man, you all need to spray with a hose tonight, guys. What are we doing here? What are we doing? That's all right. But yeah, Death Riders won. Then we saw Undisputed Kingdom come out, get into it. But the big thing was Cope comes out, no expression on his face, hits Pac with not one but two concertos.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see aggression out of Cope for this.
It's going to take that
to
face a guy like Mox and to overcome the obstacles in a match with Mox with all the outside interference.
Yeah. I just put Maj's comment up here, Shep, for you to react.
And you guys thought I was the one that's going to make it explicit this week, huh?
Yeah, Shep's been a good boy tonight so far.
I have. It's been a long week. I didn't get too fired up before pre-pod. I didn't get to pre-pod tailgate.
What do you think of Max Caster's open challenges so far?
I love him. I love that he gets his ass whooped.
Brody Keene took it to him this week.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. It's good. Actually, it makes me not cringe when he comes out now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know what he's in store for. Yep.
So I think it's actually good for him that they're doing this.
Steven's wondering if Pac's having visa issues again since they're putting him off TV. Probably so. And I like it that Cope's trying to take out all the Death Riders before Revolution. So it's more fair.
Yeah.
And you know, I know we've talked about it before and Majin's talked about it in the comments. I think Steven has too. Maybe we finally see Beth Phoenix. If Marina's the only one, Shafir's the only one that Cope can't take out, maybe Beth comes in to take her out. Just as a one off.
She's due.
Yeah.
They've rumored her in like seven different other
positions
in the company. So
what do you think about the Murder Machines, Brian Cage and Lance Archer, most likely getting a tag team title shot versus Hurt Syndicate?
I could be more interested in Billy Corgan write a wrestling show for Ric Flair and Arn Anderson as your main event.
I thought you were going to do Ric Flair and is it Dory Funk that's still alive that says he can wrestle one more match? He's like 90.
He can't walk, but yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so. Man. Yes, Steven. Yeah. Wheeler Yuta looks like Captain Caveman. My God. His hair and his beard.
He hadn't had a haircut in a
year. It's Dory Funk. Okay. Yeah, we'll see who challenges Okada next. We saw Okada say he did a backstage segment, said he put the dog down at Grand Slam. Anyone else wants to step up to him, he'll do the same to them. Could we see the other dog and the other hound, Brody King, step up?
I would. I'd be okay with that match.
Yeah.
You know, Buddy looks like he tweaked an ankle.
Yeah, and he was on his honeymoon with Rhea. They finally took their honeymoon.
He had a boot on, and then there were some pictures. He was just wearing an ankle brace. So I don't know if that keeps him off television for a couple weeks. But that'd be something to, you know, to fill in until you go on to the next step.
We saw Julia Hart make Queen Aminata tap out, but I thought it was a pretty good match. Like, I think both these ladies have a high ceiling potential.
They do. They just they need to find their way in a really crowded women's division. And then right now, the top of the division is so much on such a different tier or different level, however you want to say it right now, is that you don't even think about any other part. You don't even think about the TBS championship.
Which I know, and I paid attention to some of the show last week, and since then, I think Mercedes has been doing a really good job.
Her matches have been title. Yeah, her match has been better. I do like her snub, arrogant, cocky backstage vignettes with Renee. I think that does do a pretty good job. Right now, I think she's at a ceiling until you take her to the next level.
And it's going to take somebody with a pretty high ceiling to take it off of, I think.
Yeah. It will. It's going to have to be a younger star.
I think the woman to do it never gets AEW television time.
Who's that?
Athena. I think she'd be great. Oh. Great candidate to do it.
I think we've talked about Athena being one of the best athletes overall, period. Yeah. But for some reason, they do not put her anywhere but ROH.
I mean, maybe you could do something at All In. Athena's from Texas. I know that's down the road in July. Maybe you could do something where it's for both titles because Mercedes wants to be this belt collector.
Yeah.
I don't know. One thing I forgot to mention when I asked you about Murder Machines and Hurt Syndicate, Outrunners are going against Murder Machines next week. And if the Outrunners win, MVP agreed to give them the tag team title shot.
I saw that.
Don't think they'll win, but I think there's something there down the line. The Outrunners could be the team to take it off Hurt Syndicate.
I think
that might be a stretch, but
they're over right now. So
yeah,
you got to keep riding them.
Did you see that stuff they did yesterday with the University of Nebraska Omaha's basketball team?
Yes.
Classic. Before the game and after the game.
Half of those kids were like, who in the hell left their drunk uncles come out of the house?
I loved it. Afterwards, they're doing their trash can celebration. They did, "You son of a bitch." The players are loving it. Oh, they're great. They're fantastic. They're fantastic. No, overall, I thought it was a really good week of AEW. I think AEW's had a strong start so far in 2025. I mean, are they as popular as they once were amongst the IWC? No. I don't know what they got to do to get back in those good graces, but I think they're putting on some good shows. Once in a while, they'll have one not so strong, but I mean, trust me, I tuned into Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown this week, and I thought SmackDown was one of the worst shows I've seen any company put on the last 4 years.
I didn't watch SmackDown. I have tend to watch Monday Night Raw because of Pat McAfee. I'm thoroughly entertained by him. Obviously, with the Jey Uso stuff. And there's some things I fast forward through it, but I think they've come to an absolute stalemate of what the hell they're going to do with Cody and Roman and The Rock and the Bloodline at WrestleMania. I don't think they know where the hell they need to go right now.
We will talk about that in just a bit. But since we are AEW-centric podcast, I want to know your show of the week in rating and wrestler of the week.
Although Collision was a really, really good show, I think overall I like Dynamite better.
I agree.
And it was solid, besides a couple little hiccups there that we talked about earlier. Solid show, and I went 7-9.
7-9? Okay. I'll go 7-7. I'll go right around you there.
Wrestler of the week. Man. I'll go with in a winning effort, I normally don't pick big guys. I'm going Powerhouse Hobbs.
I like it. Wrestler of the week. I could go with Hangman or MJF just for the mic work, but I'm going to stick with in-ring. I'm going to go Megan Bain, even though she got help. Getting a win over Statlander is pretty big in this new push for her. So.
My runner-up was Mariah May with that promo.
Yeah. Yeah. Thought about maybe OC getting a win after 6 weeks out, but I think everybody thought he was going to be Roderick Strong, so that wasn't too much of a surprise. Majin said 7-6, Stephen Chambers 7-5, and Stephen's going with Hobbs. Majin went with Megan Bain. Said he had some OT after Dynamite.
not gonna touch it.
Steffi, please get the hose, the spray bottle, whatever it takes to calm Majin down.
Her comments perfect.
But yes, real quick before we wrap things up, we will hit on the big news in the pro wrestling world. The Rock Thursday night announced he was going to be on SmackDown in New Orleans. He comes out as the final boss, comes out to a new version. It was a one-off version of his theme music that had some Lil Wayne in it. He even said after SmackDown that was just a homage to Lil Wayne. Comes out, announces WrestleMania 42 is going to be in New Orleans, which that wasn't a surprise. That was the big rumor. And then he calls out Cody Rhodes. And his promo, in my opinion, went way too long. Thought it was all over the place. And I like The Rock. The Rock got me back into pro wrestling in 2011. I've been on record saying that many times. But I thought it was all over the place. He was in and out of character. Pretty much explained how he and Cody have become friends since WrestleMania 40 last year. Their moms have become friends. He's the people's champion. He's the WWE's champion. But The Rock wants him to be his champion. He wants to give Cody all these opportunities that Cody can't get for himself. And he points to Cody what looks like his title and says, that's what I want. Cody's like, you want this championship? He's like, no, Cody, I want your soul. And I'm going to be at Elimination Chamber next Saturday. We'll see you then. I'm like, okay, this just got really weird.
That was a head scratcher.
I mean, we've seen this before. We saw The Rock as corporate champion turning heel, side with McMahon. We saw Stone Cold WrestleMania 17 against The Rock. We've seen Seth Rollins. We've seen Randy Orton. We've seen this before. I just don't think Cody turns heel. Not right now.
No, I don't think.
I think he turns down The Rock, but I think The Rock has somebody else in mind. Who that somebody is? Could it be Drew McIntyre? Could it be CM Punk? Could it be John Cena?
Yeah. I could lean towards Cena.
I mean, it would be a surprise, I think, you know, in his last retirement run. But, you know, he did use the best for business thing in that post-Rumble press conference and wanting to win the title. It'll be interesting to see where this... You got to assume that the Men's Elimination Chamber is the main event next Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see where in line of the card this Rock Cody thing's going to be. Well, that'll be pretty telling.
I would see you do it right before the main event. Cody turns him down and says, obviously, I'm taking on the winner of this chamber. And then Cody sits ringside for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Steven had an interesting comment up here, something I hadn't even thought of. He's asking if Cody's legit injured, reasoning for plan B. Because we haven't seen Cody be physical since the Rumble. I don't believe. Maybe he was in a tag match. He was in a tag match 2 weeks ago. Never mind. They just took him out of the tag match this week. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you, Shep, when you kind of said earlier. I don't know if the WWE knows what they're doing right now at WrestleMania, because I think they were going forward with plans as if The Rock wasn't going to be around, but they always knew he could wake up one day and say, hey, I'm doing something at Mania. Even if it's not a match, they'd have to rewrite things. It looks like that might be the case. So it looks like this all came together last week.
Like I said, it's awful late in the game to still be playing in Mania.
It happened last year.
So,
I mean, yeah, I mean, if the direction was supposed to be Cena, Rhodes, Punk, Rollins, Reigns, and Triple Threat, The Rock could definitely throw a wrench in that. I don't think The Rock's in a match. I'm gonna be honest. I don't think he's in a match at Mania this year. But I think he's gonna be involved now. Somehow, you don't show up a SmackDown and then Elimination Chamber and not show up at Mania.
I thought they've always said for the last 4 months that his schedule is already booked and he can't be at Mania.
That's what I said. Unless he somehow freed up some dates.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is something WWE's got to get used to. I mean, he is a director of the TKO board. He brought that up. He's powerful.
Yeah, he says he's the most powerful man on television.
I mean, they had a sense. I mean, that poor, probably 25-year-old guy that was sitting in the back for USA Network. He was hitting the dump button over and over and over again. I mean, that's where I get frustrated with The Rock just cursing all the time because the promos get so choppy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't know, but it got me to tune in. I wasn't probably going to watch SmackDown. Then I saw The Rock was advertised. I'm like, okay, I got to see what this is about.
You know, if he's going to do that, then you might as well have him cut that promo on Raw.
Where it's you can have a fly.
Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what direction to go. There's a lot of things I feel like they got to figure out. A lot of directions for a lot of guys. And I know they got another pay-per-view next Saturday, Chamber first, but. But we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be interesting.
And I think Cena wins that.
I do too. But this Rock thing does make it interesting. Like, and I know he and Drew are boys. That could be a good role for Drew. Be kind of the corporate champion.
Yeah.
I can't see Punk doing that. And Punk still got this favor with Heyman. We got to see play out somehow. I don't know. It'll be interesting. But I thought SmackDown was pretty lazy. And maybe it was because The Rock showing up screwed up the plans. But I thought it was as bad as an episode of WWE as I've seen since 2019.
Well, they said they had to rewrite. They at least scrapped two matches because of it when they announced it on Thursday.
It was pretty bad. Brandon J with a comment or question. Do y'all think Mike Bailey is going to be a star in AEW? He's got the talent.
He does.
Got to not get lost in the mix.
That, and we'll see how he talks on the mic. He hasn't had a lot of speaking roles.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's exciting. Like, I don't know, right when I heard back in October he was going to be free agent, I just kind of figured he was WWE or NXT bound. But AEW can still grab some free agents.
Yeah.
We just haven't really seen any lately from WWE jump over to AEW, and we still haven't seen somebody go from AEW to WWE, back to AEW yet, but I don't think there's been enough time with contracts either for that to happen. So we will see. Anything else, Shep, you want to discuss tonight in the world of wrestling?
No, I think that's it. We do have the Hardys returning back to WWE ground on Tuesday in NXT.
Yeah, first NXT appearance for either one of them. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, I know you're not a nerd like I am in this retrospect of collecting wrestling figures, but they're releasing a ROH two-pack of the Hardys when Brother Nero and Matt, Broken Matt. And it's interesting because somebody out there in the IWC said they're releasing ROH figures of the Hardys made by AEW of talents that are currently in TNA, but showing up in WWE next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of mind blowing when you think about all that. Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be good to see. I'll tune in to see. I'll see what kind of reaction they get.
Steven wants to know the take on WWE getting rights to Lucha Underground, possibly remaking the show. I believe, Steven, that was a fake report. I believe that was something WrestleVotes put out, and WrestleVotes is a parody account that just makes stuff up. I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe that.
I haven't seen that.
That's what it was. Yeah. If there is truth to that, I have not seen it. I was never one who got into Lucha Underground, but I wish I would have from things I've heard about it. Heard it was a pretty neat concept.
It was.
And a lot of talent that you see in AEW and WWE. So,
yeah. A lot of talent that I did not know wrestled under a mask.
Yeah. 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 That's one more thing I guess I wanted to hit on AEW real quick. We did see Ricochet and Prince Nana, but no Swerve again on TV. We got to think we're getting that match again at Revolution, right? Ricochet and Swerve?
Yeah, I think so. And I do not like Ricochet on the mic. It's nails to the chalkboard.
Yeah, yeah. I like him in the ring. He's athletic as anybody, but yeah, his promos just don't really hit for me.
No.
Yep. Nana's gotta get his coat back, man. Somehow.
Somehow, some way.
Somehow, some way. But Revolution shaping up to be a big card. I know you're gonna be on vacation going up to Revolution, so we'll have to figure out when we're gonna do our Revolution prediction show, which will be your first title defense in 2025.
It will. It will.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, Steven said Fightful confirmed it. I did not see that. My apologies. Well, that'll be interesting. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they try to do anything with it. Yeah. Did you watch any of the LFG show?
Actually, I have the second one on behind me, and I have them both recorded and probably going to hop off here in a minute and watch them. I've watched some highlights, obviously listening to Bully Ray about the initial episode incident. Obviously I think it's 100% work. And just bully. But kind of looking forward. They said it's like, Tough Enough meets, Real World maybe.
Yeah.
And then you throw Mickey James, Taker and Bully Ray in there. And
is Booker on there too? Booker T?
Booker's on there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Shawn Michaels makes some cameos as well. So
that's one channel YouTube TV does not have A&E, which bums me out because I like the, not only am I interested in watching LFG, I like the Rivals series they do and the biographies they do. I like all that stuff, but I have to find other ways to watch them. So it might be a little later in the process for me to watch them, but I'll find a way. I'll find a way. But anything else, Shep?
Let's wrap it up.
Well, thanks everybody for watching. Like always, thanks everybody for commenting. It really helps us out. Makes an engaging show, makes a more entertaining, fun show for us. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button, that follow button. Anywhere you can find us on social media, that's Blue Sky, Instagram, X, and Facebook at Kicking Out Pod. You can listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts at. And if you do that, make sure you're following us and subscribed on there as well. And please hit us with that 5-star rating and review. Reviews really help us out. Can't push that enough. It's free. Only takes a couple seconds to do so. So please do that. And if you want to get some great merch, look great doing so, support our podcast. You can do that at kickingoutshop.com and at Pro Wrestling Tees. We also have some tees up there, some older ones at Pro Wrestling Tees. Just type in Kicking Out Podcast. You can find those. You can follow me at TannerLee92. You can follow Shep at TheShep27. And you can follow Paul, who didn't show up to work tonight, at PaulZartman87. He's also Shepherd. I'm Tanner Lee. Paul's not here. But we'll be back next Sunday as we kick out yet another podcast.